Hey, welcome to our weekly Take the City podcast. And we hope that this will be a blessing to you and that this will empower you and equip you. This is really to be a voice and to take a stand, to man the gates and to see the glory of God coming in. So enjoy it.
It is that time of the week. It is time for Take the City podcast. And thank you guys for joining in. Let's give it a couple of minutes and like, comment, please share. Let's get the podcast for tonight out. Let's get awareness for tonight out. I believe I've got a word in season that you guys will be blessed with, that the Lord's going to minister to us tonight. And I'm excited for what's to come this evening as the word goes out. And if you've been following, we last week we talked about the echo of heaven, what heaven is busy releasing. So this week we're going to touch a bit more on that as well. And I believe I've got some interesting things I'm going to add and stuff that's a bit relevant that I felt the Lord is ministering to a couple of people even in this season. And then, let me jump into the word. I believe this is something that really stuck with me this week and that is starting to stir me. So I started getting to this thing about there cannot be a blessing without a burden. We need to carry the yoke that the Lord has given us. That word says his burden is light and his yoke is easy. But you need to carry that burden. You need to carry that very thing that God has got for us. And as I prayed for this podcast today, the Lord started speaking to me and stirring me. And it says, it's time for a change of God. It's time for a change of God, that we are no longer listening to the 10 spies, but we're listening to the two that gives the good report. That we are no longer at a place where we are intimidated about what the 10 says, but we're going to stand on what the 2 says. And we're going to believe in that, and we're not going to miss our position in who God says and calls us to be. So I believe even in this day that God is shifting many things. God is releasing many things. And it's our place as Christians, as the church and the bride of Christ, to stand up and say, hey, but we stand for Christ. We believe in what Christ has said, and that his word is still active, and his word is still alive, and he's ministering to us, and he's doing much in this day, and that we need to back what God has been said. And we spoke about last week the echo of heaven, the sound that heaven is producing. But I want to challenge you guys, and do you know what the sound of heaven is in this season? Do you know what the word of God is in this season? And do you know what God is busy saying over our nation, over our city, and over our families even in this day? And I started to stir on me, and which voice am I following in this season? Am I listening to the sound of heaven, or am I listening to the snake? Am I listening to deceitfulness that is trying to hinder me, that we're listening to the worldly things that shouldn't be taking us apart, but that starts to influence people? And I believe in our place as a church that we need to pray against these things, because we got the right to stand and break the chains of the worldliness that's trying to interfere with what people is trying to believe that is not from God. So today I'm going to read us a section out of Numbers 16. If you got your Bible, join us, join the conversation, and let's open and let's all read together and see what the Word of God says. Amen. Amen to the YouTube guys. I see there's a couple of guys joining in. Audrey and Sherelle, Wendy, welcome to everybody there. Thanks for liking, thanks for sharing and everything. All right, if you've got your Bible, let's go to Numbers 16. I'm reading from verse 1, and it says, now, Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, with Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, on the son of Peleth, the sons of Reuben, took men, and they rose up before Moses with some of the children of Israel, 250 leaders of the congregation, representatives of the congregation, men of renown, meaning they are men of stature, they were men that were, oh, I want to say famous, men that people looked up to. They gathered together against Moses and Aaron and said to them, you take too much upon yourself, for all the congregation is holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Why then do you exalt yourself above the assembly of the Lord? So when Moses heard it, he fell on his face, and he spoke to Korah and all of the company, saying, tomorrow morning the Lord will show who he is and who is holy, and will cause him to come near to him, that one who he chooses, he will cause to come near to him to this. Take census, Korah, and all your company. Put in them, put a fire in them. And the Lord chooses who is, where am I? I'm reading behind the mic here. Put a fire in them and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord chooses is the Holy One. You take too much upon yourself, your sons of Levi. Then Moses said to Korah, hear now, you sons of Levi. Is it a small thing to you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring near to himself, to do the work of the tabernacle of the Lord, and to stand before the congregation to serve them, and that he have brought you near to himself and all the brethren, the sons of Levi? And I'm going to stop there for a second, and there's a lot of information in this section here, and one of the things that started stirring to me is how Korah got to a place where he believed that he was holy like Moses was holy, and that he had the same thing, and that, you know, he said we can share the same burdens, we can share the same stuff, he can do what Moses can do, and that everybody is, you know, on an equal basis and everything, which to a far degree is too, but the Lord's anointed and appointed Moses to do certain things. And one of the things, I'm going to open a conversation now with Apostle and invite him in, and where we're going to go from this is that what Korah started to believe on the inside, he started to speak with his mouth. And once he started to speak, he got people to come in with him. The word says that Dothan and Abiram came to with him, and they started to speak to the congregation, and they got 250 leaders to stand up with them. This was people with renowned stature. This was people that was walking with them, that people that people in the desert at that time would have known and would have looked up to. And he started to use his mouth to deceive them from turning away, to say, hey, but this what Moses is doing, I can do as well. And this what Aaron is doing, I can do as well. And that, why are you only allowed to do certain things? Because we are also in that place. So they became something of entitlement. And where we got this is earlier this week, me and Apostle, we started to talk, I think it was last week. But people start to move in a certain realm of the spirit, and they start to operate in a certain anointing. And then they start to believe that that anointing is their anointing, and that blessing is their blessing, not discerning that there is a difference between a church blessing in a local environment, and then also that there is a personal blessing, that there's a personal gift that needs to be unlocked. And I've seen in my life that many things that I had to work through, that it starts off maybe with a certain blessing, but then God needs to develop the gift. God needs to develop the character before you start to walk in the office of that very thing that you're called to walk into. And for some of us, you know, I think before I go too deep into this, we get to a place sometimes where we feel that entitlement. We feel that, but hey, I'm doing everything. I can do this as well. I can do that as well. And a lot of times the enemy wants to come in with that voice to say, hey, you can do this. You can do this. Mm. The moment we give root to that voice, we see chaos coming. Before we go too much further into the text, but this is what was the situation with Korah. And I believe, how many times do we see that in a local church, not just in a church environment, but even in a workplace and everything, not trusting the process of God, not trusting who God has placed in that very sector or the leader that God has given you, but we say, but hey, I can do this as well. Maybe I should be the one that is in charge of running this. So, Apostle, welcome. I'm going to leave it there for a second and just get your opinion about what we're busy speaking on. Get some wisdom from the Apostle to lay a foundation as well. And look forward to what the conversation leads to this evening.
Amen. Blessings. Good evening, everyone. It's wonderful that you guys are with us online, and always good to see everyone. And we are blessed. And I think it's such a powerful, powerful illustration. Not just an illustration, I mean, this really happened, but you know, there's so much to take from this and so much to learn from this. Because, you know, there's things that we strongly believe, and I believe in one thing that we call the set man principle. And it's exactly this, that God has set through time. Even in the New Testament, he speaks about the chief among equals, or the first among equals. Sure. Which is a principle of that God has a set man or a set person. Mm. Although we are in New Testament even a royal priesthood, a holy people unto the Lord, and although we are all called and we have a calling, that there's certain people that God has marked for special tasks and for specific purposes. The Levites were set apart for specific function. And therefore, you need to understand your function. I love that what he says, that is this too small a thing for you that God has separated you? And he actually does the opposite. He says it's such a small thing for you. But actually what he's saying is, hey guys, you need to realize this is a big deal.
Yes.
That what you receive is such a huge thing from God. It's such a weighty task and importance, and such an important, calling. And you take it so lightly. You make it as if it's such a small thing. But you need to understand that God has placed you. And again, how many times do we feel not just threatened, but we want to compare callings, we want to compare gifts. And I want to see, how do I measure up against you? But we are not called the same.
Yes.
You are called with a purpose. I'm called with a purpose. And that's the whole thing that we're trying to get to the whole time, is that we are all called. You watching, you are called with a purpose, but where does your calling, your purpose fit in? It fits into a body, which means that there's a part that you need to fulfill. And that's what we need to get to, that you can do what you can do, I can do what I can do. And then together we get somewhere, together we start fulfilling the calling. But we murmur and complain, as they say, and we look at what you do, and then I feel like, but I want to do what you do, or I can't do it as good as you. And now we get to a spirit of competition and strive, and it's exactly what happened here. Coming to a place that we can do these things. I think God's set man principle works like this, that he has set certain people into an office and into a place to lead us. Mm-hmm. But we always say this, you cannot lead where you've not gone before. And exactly, Moses has been through the wilderness. They murmuring and complaining, saying, you're taking us out of Egypt. But they say it twice, because what did God promise? God says, I'm taking you to the land of milk and honey.
Yes.
They murmur and complain with Moses, actually saying that you brought us out of the land of milk and honey.
Yes.
So they had such a poor mindset of being caught in Egypt, being happy as slaves and all these things, that they thought that was it.
Yes.
Because they say, hey, you took us out of milk and honey and you brought us in the wilderness to die for what? But that makes me think, how many times do we live in a place where we think it's the land of milk and honey, but you're in bondage? Where God has actually promised you freedom, deliverance, your own portion, your inheritance. And God wants to lead us there. God wants to take us there. But now we murmur and complain about the journey and the route we take with God. We murmur and complain about the people that God wants to use,
yes,
to take us there. God knows what you need in your life. You see, so these people needed a Moses in their life to take, there's a part where they say that, are you trying to lord a prince over us?
Mm.
But he was a prince. He was set as a prince in Egypt, you see. But in that knowing, because it's part of the calling, God had to take him somewhere to be able to speak in the palace, to speak to Pharaoh. But it says there's something about the word that speaks about Moses, saying that he was the meekest on earth.
Sure.
You see, so from a place of authority, from a place of being in the palace, understanding these things, God had to take him through a process. So what we're talking about actually is two places here, is one, Moses 40 years ahead, because he's been processed to qualify to lead.
Yes.
Now it takes people with a mindset that's in the wilderness now, because now they're taken out of Egypt. They still need to be processed.
Mm.
And I think this is the danger. This is the thing that we so sometimes need to be careful of, is that, as what you said, we have a gift, we have a calling, we have an amazing thing, and then we think the gift, you know, will do the work. Yes. And the gift will make room for us. Yes, the word does say that, but the gifts are without repentance. It's about the character and the nature, and that what sustains. I think that was part of what we started to lay foundation last week, and the sound of heaven that we need to echo. And even on Sunday and Pentecost, is that the sound needs to equally go with character. Because if we have a sound that's just wind and fire and all the power, but there's no substance, you know, there needs to be fruit, there needs to be godly character, there needs to be something that can sustain that.
Yes.
Otherwise, it's not long-lasting. It's not enduring. I'm busy preparing for Sunday again, because we had now Pentecost, and a week later we have Father's Day. But again, Father's is all about legacy.
Mm.
And legacy speaks of that, what did you leave behind. Prophecy speaks of that, what I'm reaching out to, that what is coming. But legacy is that what I've built. And sons, you know, is your testimony of your legacy, because they need to see the Father in the sons.
Mm.
And so here, Moses walks before them because he's been processed.
Mm.
So I think it's important, the process of being processed. And this is the pitfall. Is every stage in our lives will get to a place where you will think that you can do it better. You will think that you've got it all. You will think that, you know, give me that, I can excel. And yes, being a father, that's my heart, isn't it? My heart is for my sons to excel me, to do better. But there's a place of understanding that God has set me as the husband and the father of the house, and that there's a time that they will be released to set their house in order and become a father.
Yes.
But up until then, there's an order and a place. So they need to understand their position and place. And I think that's what our heart is for each one of us, is to understand the calling and to understand where God has set you, that you serve, and you will be tested. There will come a part in your life where you think, now I can do it better. Now I can, you know. And you have to cover your father's nakedness, if I can say it in that way, where Noah's son saw him naked, and they decided some to cover, but one, you know, made a mockery out of it. But we need to cover sometimes when we see certain things, you know, not thinking you can do it better, you can be more powerful, you can be greater. And through that processing, then you will be ready. God can release something. So I believe that you've got something really, you know, you're onto something here.
Amen. And carrying on with that, you know, I think I've got a couple of thoughts before I change a bit of the direction of this. But one of the things, as Apostle has said, he says, is it a small thing? And he goes on to say, to do the work of the Lord, to do the work of the tabernacle. You know, and I think, how many times do we start to do the things, we start to serve in church, but after a while we don't feel it anymore. We release a yoke before it was the time, before that season has ended. We say, hey, I don't feel this anymore. Now it was a blessing in the beginning, but now it's become a work.
Mm.
And the blessing is still the blessing, but what has changed is a person's attitude. It is not the work that has changed or the circumstances that has changed. It's more your heart's posture towards that's going on.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, speaking about sons and fathers, I think there's a balance, because a father needs to be able to, I think, let his son outshine him. But a son also needs to wait his time for the release to come, to inhabit that very promise, to inhabit that very thing. And I think what Korah did here, he set in stone his trajectory, because the moment I believe that thought started to become words and he started to believe it, he started to get people to follow him with him.
Yeah.
And what happened there? He got so many people. He got 250 people that people looked up to follow him, and they started to deceive them. And if you know the story, and it goes on, and it goes to a place where they all were under the hand of judgment from the Lord, and none of them made it. And Moses came out, and Moses was the one that was holy. Moses was the one that stood out. But it was crucial, because what surrounded Korah? Korah got to a place where he started to believe it. And the next thing he did, he got people to believe it with him. And he got friends that had like-mindedness. He got friends that spoke the same thing into his life saying, hey, but why, you can do it as well. You're a Levi, aren't you? You're one of the chosen one. You're a son of Aaron, or down on of the priesthood. So why weren't you able to do it? And I think, Apostle, a lot of times we get to that place in our life, and I think it's a lot of the time right before a very big breakthrough, we got to a place where we say, but hey, I can do it.
Yeah.
I can do it. I think there was many times in my life where I've had prophets as leaders over me, as teachers showing me the ways. And there was a lot of times that I thought to myself, but hey, maybe I can do this as well. Have you seen how good I can prophesy? Have you seen the gift that I've got? But eventually I had to grow in stature. I had to grow in character, and I never spoke out against them. I stayed under that submission. But it's so easily when that enemy tries to bring that thought that we fall into that very snare,
yeah.
That we fall into that thing of deceitfulness. And the Bible describes, you know, deception a lot of times with snakes as well. We see Genesis 3, the snake comes and all of that. But one of the things one of the things of Korah, he took what was supposed to be a blessing and it became such a burden. And we cannot take that what is a blessing and make it a burden. Because the moment we do that, we need to go check our heart, maybe where I was deceived. You know, where did I become bitter? Where did I become offended? Because we get to that place where we start to believe our own bitterness, our own offense. And I think that's a scary place for us to be as believers, that we think we are self-righteous. You know, he says to Moses, hey, all of us are holy.
Yeah.
In fact, only God is holy. We are made the righteousness of God, and we are righteous in Christ. And I am the righteousness. But I need to remember only God is good, that we all fall short, that we all have this thing, you know. And I'm going to go through another scripture now, and I'm going to talk about how deception creeps in. And Matthew 12, 34 to 37 says, Jesus calls the Pharisees here, and he says, you brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak. A good man, out of a good treasury, his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the treasury brings forth evil things. But I say to you that that very idle word that men may speak, they will give account for in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and your words you will be condemned. And he says to them here, out of what you flow, that is what you will start to speak. Out of all that what is on the inside, that is what is about to come out of you. And even if you make idle words or things and you say, this is but a joke, or this is but a small thing, that's the very thing that will start to condemn you. It will be at the day of judgment. I cannot say to Apostle today, and I make a joke to him and say, hey, but you're not so gifted. I can do better. I can do this, you know. Why don't this or this? Why? It's idle words. It's words that's spoken in vain. I cannot say that such thing, because only God has appointed him in that specific place. I need to honor who God has placed in that place, because the viper's way is, what did the viper do? The Pharisees did. They spoke the right things, but their hearts weren't in that right place. You know, and I think a lot of times we should be so careful about the sound that is being released, because sometimes we believe a sound is from heaven when it's from the enemy.
Yeah.
The sound we worship today, and we listen to worship music today, and I'm using worship because we can all relate, and we're listening to so much worship music that is saying, I am strong, I can do this, I have the ability to do that, instead of worship that is saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of God. Instead of worshiping out of a place that flows up towards God, we're worshiping to a place that starts to fill and say, but I am good, and I can have a promise, and I can do this. And this is a very scary place to be at. You know, if you go look in the details of for a rattlesnake, and most of us will know a rattlesnake and what the rattlesnake does, but it says that a rattlesnake releases a sound that makes his enemy believe he is closer than what he is.
Sure.
So a lot of times in confusion and hardship, you know, the enemy will speak a word that will make it seem that it's so much harder and tougher than what it really is. And who of you have been there? You know, I'm not going to say that I've not been there, but we've been at a place where we believe that things are harder than what they truly are. We are suffering more than what they're truly suffering.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen stuff that I'm not going to go too deep in it, but people will complain about our circumstances and situations, yet they are living out of the abundance of the Lord. And I think to myself, have you seen your circumstances? Have you seen the blessing that the Lord has portrayed over your life? That you have blessed, that you are healthy, that you have a roof, that you have food. And sometimes we need to not take for granted that very thing. You know, sometimes the enemy wants us to believe that the fight is harder than what it truly is. In fact, we just need to surrender and get to that place where we give over to what the Lord has got for us. And that's why it's crucial that we don't release a sound that's contrary to that what the Lord has placed on the inside of us. Rattlesnakes can change the frequency of their sound to enhance illusion of proximity. How awesome is that? That the Lord designed a rattlesnake to change the frequency to change that the prey and the enemy that the rattlesnakes attacks to get food from believes maybe is further or closer than what he truly is, to bring a thing of fear, to bring a thing of discomfort. And that's exactly what the Lord describes as a Satan. He came as a serpent, something that is deceitful, to show that maybe he's closer or further away than what he truly is. And I think for us, we need to become at a place where we release a sound that is not in the line of our previous generations. We release a sound in South Africa that wasn't something that our forefathers did, but it's a sound that we are doing in this very day. One of the significance and why I started with the story of Korah, before I'm going to hand over back to Apostle here for a second, is because Korah's transgression, his sons did not fall in. Because of Korah, what Korah did, his sons did not lead into that very place. Numbers 26 speaks about that the earth opened and swallowed them up together with Korah and with the company, and everybody died. But the sons of Korah did not die. Because the sons of Korah, if you go read your Bible, you go read your Psalms, the sons of Korah changed the sound of the trajectory of where they were to go to. The sons of Korah were known in the Bible as people that worshipped God. They got to a place that you go read, I think it's Psalms 42, 43, from there on up, there's a couple of them. Go read it, and it says, as a deer panteth for the Lord, so my soul longs for them, as a deer panteth for the water, so my soul longs for the Lord. Amen. And he got to that place where they knew what they needed, and their words were a blessing unto the Lord, but they did not curse God. And a lot of times we are following certain things and we're following certain molds where we are supposed to change the sound. And I believe in South Africa and in our nation and our church that we are supposed to change the sound that is coming out of Babylon, that is coming out of what the earth is telling us and what the world is telling us. We are supposed to release a sound that is contrary from what the earth is saying. We are supposed to release something that heaven is saying. The word says that the sound of the Lord is like the sound of many waters. Yeah. Why? If you actually listen and look up to the significance in that, that if you know that sound precedes manifestation. Sound precedes manifestation. And we're going on an outreach to Zambia in I think it's in August. But the Victoria Waterfall, they say you can hear the sound of the waterfall up to 40 kilometers. Up to 40 kilometers, there's a sound that the waterfall starts to release that people will know and hear. There is a sound. There is the waterfall. That is that side. A lion's voice that roars can be heard up to 8 kilometers. So there's something that we as image bearers of Christ need to start to release in this nation, in this city, that shows people, hey, this is how God moves. This is how God functions, and this is what we need to move into as we start to release a sound that is in the likeness of that what is of Christ. And I believe in the city, in the season that I spoke about, the God that is changing, at the end of the day, sons of Korah become gatekeepers. If you go look at 1 Chronicles 9:17, it speaks about, and the gatekeepers And he reads the names there. Until they had been gatekeepers for the camps of the children of Levi at the king's gate on the east, Salom the son of Korah, the son of Ebiasaph, and the son of Korah in his brethren from the father's house were charged for the work of service, gatekeepers of the tabernacle. Their father had been keepers of the entrance of the camp of the Lord. So they went from a place where Korah, deceived in his being, started to speak against the anointed of God, started to speak against Moses, got people to believe in the deceitfulness of his own hearts and his own ambitions, and it brought judgment upon him, to where his son said, hey, I'm not going to follow in that trajectory. I'm going to change the sound, and I'm going to worship God, and I'm going to do something else, and I'm going to start to believe in it, where they were in charge of the gates that were at the tabernacle, that they were in charge of the very thing that kept people from going into the presence of the Lord. And how awesome and crucial is that, because a gatekeeper say yes or no. They release a sound that brings breakthrough, or they release a sound that brings blockage, that closes a door for you. And the sons of Korah got to a place where they had to be gatekeepers of the tent, gatekeepers of the presence of the Lord, by obeying God and changing a sound where other people were turning against it. And I think for us in this very moment, it's that thing of how God's redemption comes in by what we start to speak. And I spoke to the cell group last week about it as well. But what are we saying? What are we releasing? Because the enemy wants us to think, hey, but it was me. A lot of times, you know, that you will minister sometimes and you would think, how powerful was I used in this circumstance? How good am I to do certain things? And right there, you need to break that thought and say, it's not me, but it was God. I was but a vessel at that very moment. I was but a vessel and an instrument for God. It is purely by His grace that God has used me.
Amen. Man, I love what you're saying. And it's important. And I love that God has also got mercy. You know, that he saved the other sons. He didn't just destroy a generation and it stopped there.
Yes.
You know, that God always gives us an opportunity to repent and, you know, to move on or to get to a place of restoration and to continue, because there was a call. He has set them apart with a calling, and they had to run with that what God has given them. And, you know, but it's difficult because, you know, the Bible says that our hearts are deceptive, you know.
Yes.
Our hearts are evil, and our hearts above all deceive ourselves. And you know, we need to guard our heart, we need to protect our heart and be so careful of what we allow in our heart. You know, and this is again back to the theme of discerning, to discern, because we've been speaking, even in the I prophesy a lot on this year about discerning, and we need to discern you know, where these things come from, because Korah, you know, he had a spirit where it looks like he's for the people, but it was actually for himself.
Yes.
You know, it looks like he's representing them and speaking certain things, but it's actually, there was a hidden agenda behind that, and there was a spirit behind that. And, you know, so it's important, because we need to discern, as you say, the sound as well, that, you know, that's released, not just by us, but by other people, by things around us. And you know, that you said that our sound in this season must help others, and it immediately took me to the scripture of Acts 16, where Paul and Silas was in jail, and when they started singing and rejoicing, they started releasing a sound, and by that sound, it didn't just set them free, it set all the other prisoners free.
Yes,
it broke the chains of everyone, not just them. And so often we say that your sound can be, your sound cannot be tied to your sight. That what we see, because it says in the midnight hour. So they were in darkness sitting there, and if their sound was tied, you know, to their sight, and you know, then they will stumble through midnight hours, because in the midnight hour it means that it's your darkest hour. You cannot see. You're struggling to find your way. And, you know, so if you connect your sound to what you see, you're going to fall through the midnight hour. You're not going to get the breakthrough. Therefore, your sound cannot be connected to your sight and that what you see. But you need to be anchored and you know, connected to what your spirit sees and what God says. And I think that was part of what Moses did. It immediately, it says that Moses fell down and he started to pray.
Yes.
And I don't think his prayer was, Lord, strike them. I think his first prayer was, Lord, make sure that what they say is not true, that maybe there's some wickedness in my heart, or maybe there's some pride, or maybe I'm trying to just be the leader of, you know. I think it was a prayer almost from Lord, help me to just check my own heart, that it's not true that what they say, but that, you know, you set me really as the leader and as the one that needs to take them somewhere. So I think even in that meekness, he was praying to say, like David, you know, seek me, check my heart, and make sure that, you know, that it's pure and upright.
Mm.
And so in the season, we need to understand that I love that sound of the rattlesnake, you know, and what you said, you know, that it can change the sound, because we can have a sound for ourselves to become free and to overcome, but there's a sound we can release for one another as well.
Yes.
To help those who are chained, those who are broken, those who are bound, so that they can become free. Our sound releases a certain hope, a certain frequencies. Just as the enemy is trying, as we said, the devil walks around like a lion trying to see whom he can devour. There's a sound, but there's a fake sound. He is not the lion. We know that Jesus is the Lion of Judah. And now the devil tries to imitate a certain sound to draw us. And we need to discern the sounds, because there's certain cat species that can mimic certain sounds of the prey so that they can draw them, that they can actually catch them. And we need to be able to understand what is the sound, you know, that really speaks to us. So our sound can set us free, but it can set those around us free as well. And therefore we need to, you know, have the right sound. We need to understand and discern. I think back to discernment, we need to discern the sound that's needed in the season.
Yes.
And what God wants to do, and we need to release that sound, whether it's for yourself, whether it's for the one who is next to you, whether it's for somebody else. We need to release something. Mm-hmm. The serpent, you say, you know, had a sound in the garden. It makes me think of when they were deceived, they didn't discern. It says that they started to hide away from the sound of God.
Mm.
Because when God came, they say they heard the sound of God and they got afraid and they started, you know, hiding away. So whenever we're in a place where we're not in right standing anymore, even the sound of God will start to frighten us.
Yes.
The sound of God will start to drive us away instead of drawing us. And there's certain things that we need to do to preserve our sound, because we need to be in God.
Mm.
They were, because of sin and unrighteousness, they started to run away from his presence.
Yes.
Instead of running to him, because in him your sound is preserved.
Definitely.
We need to understand that your sound is in God, and in God your sound is preserved. And that's what the enemy wants. The enemy wants to run rather away, so that you can be isolated, but there can be no sound. Your sound's not preserved. And when you don't have a perseverance, or there's a preserveness, it starts to rot, it starts to decay, it starts to change. But in God's presence, and that way it's preserved, it remains pure and good for such a long time. I mean, that's what we love as South Africans, isn't it? We like biltong. And we do the salt and the spices and the things to preserve the longevity of that meat. Even if it's very old, I mean, it can be dry, you can crack it, the dust can fly out of it, you still eat it, but it's still good. There's a preservedness, you know, because of the process and the it went through. So I think one of the things that we need to speak on, maybe, or just focus on again, is prayer.
Mm.
Because prayer is something that preserves our sound.
Yes.
Prayerlessness makes us, you know, if we remain quiet, because prayerlessness, not praying, means you're quiet and you don't release the sound of God. Whenever we pray, God has got a responsibility to respond back and to act upon his word. And so prayerlessness is in one way to lose your sound. And I think that's why we, even as a church, if you part, that's why we started to start with a Thursday evening prayer as well. Sunday mornings, we have our usual intercession, but it's so that we as a community can release a greater sound.
Mm.
That we do these things, not just because it's good and we want people to grow, but it's because of the effect of what it does in the community. We need to make a sound because, you know, prayerlessness creates battles we're not supposed to fight.
Sure.
If we don't make the sound, the enemy will come. But if we make the sound that God gives us, it's a signal for the enemy,
yes,
not to come. It says that this place is occupied, this place is inhabited, this place is on a different control or a different, you know, it's a different territory.
Mm.
But, you know, when we don't make a sound, it's easy for them to come in. So in this season, we have to make a sound. And I think that's why, in a sense, Moses make a sound.
Mm.
That when the people challenged him, he said, Lord, I love it. Let's just look at that. Then we can maybe, you know, go as the Lord leads. But they say, you know, that we're gonna test you, you know. And let me just get that scripture where he says it to them as well, actually, where he throws it actually back to them. There's actually a part where he says to God, do not respect the offering, you know, because I'm righteous. I haven't even taken one donkey from them.
Yes.
And, you know, but
thank
you. I can't find it now, man. But I read it, but it's as they come to challenge him in the morning, the Lord will show he is, who's holy.
Mm.
And but then it's as if he throw it back and he challenged them and says, but let's really see.
Mm.
And so in a sense, Moses released the sound of God, and that sound overruled or overpowered the sound of that what wanted to deceive, the sound of that wanted to you know, come and bring division or bring, you know, a misunderstanding. Because just imagine this, né? He took 250 of the influential men,
mm-hmm.
but there's a whole nation. We see it later that actually almost 15,000 people died because of the sin and because of what happened there. Because of the sound that was released by wickedness.
Definitely.
And they had to take a stand to say, we're gonna release the sound of God. But they said, let's do the cisterns, let's do you know, the lanterns, because I don't have to speak, let God speak.
Yes.
And look at what, when God spoke, the glory came and he sorted this thing out. So I believe that we as people, representatives of God, we need to release a sound in this season, not just for ourselves, but for the communities, for that what God wants to say, so that the enemy's sound cannot be heard, so that those deception cannot come in. You know, that's why the word says in Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. We need to continue to push and push and push. And, you know, praying, it says Ephesians 6, praying in the Spirit at all times, isn't it?
Yes.
In other words, he's actually saying at all times, keep on releasing a sound. Keep on making the sound of heaven. Maintain that sound. Preserve that sound. And then we'll see something.
Amen. And I want to add by that, and I'm going to continue on this. In 2 Chronicles 20, verse 20 to 22, it says, so they rose early in the morning, and they went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and your inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe in his prophets, and you shall prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord, and who should praise the beauty of his holiness. As they went out before the army, and they were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercies endures forever. Now when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set the ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. And with the sound that they started to release as they started to praise, sometimes your prayer doesn't need to be something that you continually interceding for, but sometimes your prayer is a praise towards God. A lot of the Psalms is a praise towards God. He starts off with a Lord, but it's stuff, I'm not feeling it. Lord, I am depressed, but I know that you are good and that you are faithful and that you will overcome this very battle that I am facing in this moment. And the sound that they released here brought a victory over the enemy that was standing before them. And they sent the sound into that place and it brought a victory. So what you are releasing will determine the victory that you will have over your enemy. If you're releasing a sound that is towards the world will inhabit you. But if you're releasing a sound that is pleasing towards God, God will inhabit you and bring breakthrough and move before you. And it's vital for us in this season, I think, as well, because if you go look at Joshua, you know the story of Joshua, Joshua 6:5, that they released the sound and they brought Jericho walls down. And then one thing that I want to speak about here is because they released the sound in unity. A sound in unity is what's needed in this nation. A sound that is together, a sound of oneness, a sound that is people that's coming together in the same tone and same pitch. You know, it made me think earlier, back in the day, all the churches had bells. And what it meant in the community when you heard the church bell rings, it says it's time for assembly. It's time to gather together. It's time to come and praise the Lord and give honor and give to the Lord what it's needed. And the bells was there to release the sound, to remind the people. You know, if you go look at Islam, everywhere in Islam countries, they releases a sound that says it's time to come together. It's time to pray. And I believe for us, we've been letting go of the sound that what the Lord wants to release from us. And I believe as a company of people and believing in Christ, it's time for us to start to assemble and say, we're going to release a sound that is going to bring positivity, that's going to bring revival, that's going to bring hope back to a nation and to the people around me. I'm not going to fall into that very snare. Ezekiel 37:7 says, so he prophesied as he was commanded, and as he prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, rattling and bones came together. So the moment he started to speak, life began to flow. The moment he released that what was coming from heaven, there was an infilling that started to release in the very thing that was dead, the very thing that had no life. And I believe, and I want to say to you guys today, that it is time for you to release a sound over your family again.
Yeah.
I feel this, families, that there's husbands, that it's time for you to release a sound over your wife and over your children again, because they are falling into certain things and we are not doing what we need and standing in that place to release sound that is saying we will not fall into Babylon system, but we will fall into what God has got for us. And I believe God wants to come and break change of people that is falling into systems that is not from God, that it's coming into a place where they're falling, and the sound is the sound of the enemy. The sound sounds like the world. The sound sounds like everything out there. They praise God with the word speaks about it. They praise God with their words in James, but they curse God with that same mouth. So what are you releasing? You cannot praise God and curse in that same mouth, because what's the fruit of it? There is no praise coming out then. There is no worship coming out then. What we are actually doing is we're reaping havoc and destruction. What we're doing is we're saying to the people, hey, look at me, I'm a Christian, but I am exactly the people that you've been warned against. And this is a time in the season where we need to take up our sound and release that what God has given to us. I'm going to read a scripture and I'm going to end off with something. And I believe it's time for us to get to that place where our sound is no longer deceitful, but our sound is pure and our sound is holy and our sounds unite a nation again. It's time for our people to assemble again. I believe it's time for us to start to stand in that very gap and to say, no, we will no longer do certain things. No longer we will allow certain attacks, because God has given me authority and his word says that I am able to do these things. And I am able to bring down these strongholds, but I'm going to stand and I'm going to release a sound that's not sowing doubt, that's not sowing fear, but I'm releasing a sound that is bringing positivity, that's bringing people to look to Christ again, that's bringing people to a place that brings them on their knees, to a place where they start to worship God again. And I'm reading from us out of Matthew 16:17-19, and most of you know it, and if you've got your Bible, come and join in, but we need to make this an anchor. This, and it says, Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bound on earth and will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. What is he saying here, Peter? He's saying whatever you start to speak on earth will start to manifest the same as in heaven. Yes. Whatever you bind on earth, the same manifestation will start to happen in men. So what we speak with our words, we need to carry that authority of Christ. We need to carry that thing that Christ has spoken through us. But we cannot say blessing out of our mouth and curse out of that same mouth any longer. It's time for us to come to a place where what we speak, our actions and our deeds follow that very thing that we speak. Even if we cannot see it, even if we don't see the manifestation of it, our sound needs to come before the manifestation. Our sound needs to precede the manifestation of it. And in that I'm speaking because I believe the church, you know, the church is not just a place for preaching and worshiping God and listening to a sermon, but the church has a legislation in the spirit realm as well. The church here has been given certain keys because he says, on this revelation, I will build my church. And he speaks to Peter and he says that he is the Christ, that he is the Messiah. But on the revelation of the Messiah, the church will be built. And he speaks to them and he says to them, he's given keys for the kingdom of heaven to bound and to loosen. So the church has an ability and authority to bound and loosen certain legislations. So I believe as a church, we need to stand up as well. And churches need to stand together to say, listen, I will no longer do A, B, C, D. I will no longer look like the world to do certain things, but I will take the legal authority. And I believe there's time for churches to stand up and take the legal authority that Christ has given them and say, we will no longer say yes to what the government says, that we will do certain things that is out of line and out of will with what the Word of God says. But we will come and we will stand in unity to say, hey, my Word says this, and I will believe it. You know, it's one thing that sometimes it bugs me. It's that we don't need to defend God. God can defend himself all by himself. But we allow certain things to happen, and there will never be a word spoken ill of Islam. There will never be a word spoken ill of Hinduism and everything. But every time it's Christian in Jesus, they will use that word in vain. They will use that word as slander because it's the only words and it's the only religion that carries that power. And we need to use that power to get to a place where we release that what is heaven, that what is of destiny over people again. And then we start to get to a place where we say, hey, believers, we're going to unite. We're going to stand together. We're going to come to a place where we no longer look to what the world is dictating us. Everybody's looking to what America's doing or this and that. And the word speaks about it. Look, the signs will be around you. You will see the very things going on around you. So I'm not neglecting that or speaking down on that, but we need to start to say, Lord, what are you saying in this moment? What are you seeing in this moment where I need to start to change my mindset, where I need to start maybe have a different look and skill and to start to think differently than what the world is doing? Because at the moment, people are getting to that place where they are believing the rattlesnakes. They are believing, hey, there's so much trauma going on. Hey, there's so much stuff going on. Yes, in spite all these things, God is still good. God is still faithful. Amen. God is still moving. God is still healing. God is still delivering. God is still building his church. God is still moving in these times that we are in today. And we need to get to that place where we are not saying, hey, and we're leaving it dead. We're at a place where it's okay. God didn't do it now, this and this and this. Maybe this wasn't for me. Then maybe this wasn't so. We're sowing so many doubt and fear in people's lives. We're sowing so many things that is unbiblical sometimes in people's lives to bring some sort of compassion or healing or comfort that is so out of the line of God that we start to actually neglect the move of God. We start to inferior certain things that we make it less than what it actually is. And I believe it's time to get to a place where we actually allow God to be a big God again. We're not serving a God that did small. We're not serving an idol. We're not serving somebody that did something 2,000 years ago. We are serving somebody that did a breakthrough in mine, your life, to this very day. Mm. Every one of us here can testify and can look to things to be thankful towards the Lord, because He has done it. And I'm telling you again, He has done it through the many nations. He has done it through many years. But it's time that we say to God, we will not be a generation that gets killed off in Egypt or in the wilderness because of what we're speaking, but we will be a generation that be like David, that inhabits the whole promise, that inhabits everything that the Lord has got from us, that we see the revivals, we see the manifestation, but we will need to do it by the way that we speak and the way that we start to believe, and what we are releasing in this season is going to dictate what's going to happen in the next. And I'm challenging you guys in this, because our speech, our sound precedes a manifestation. So what we are releasing in this season will determine what the fruit of the next season will be. And I want to say to you guys, let's no longer linger on the things of old. Let's no longer linger on the things that has happened to cause that bitterness, to cause the very things. Because, you know, Korah, stuff needed to happen for Korah to maybe have felt this way, to maybe have got to that place where he felt, all of us are holy, all of us. Because he lingered on that what is not holy. He lingered on things that made himself righteous. And it's time for us to let go of our own fleshly ways and get to a place to say, Lord, what is heaven saying? What are you releasing? What is the Spirit of God saying over our nation? And I believe God is uniting our nation. God is unifying our city and our nation. But it's time that we do not do the work of the enemy anymore, but we do the work and be the hands and feet of God. And we start to unite by us uniting with our neighbor, with us uniting with the people down the street, with us uniting with other churches again. It's time for us to bring that thing back together to say, I'm no longer going to speak ill of different churches or different congregations or different beliefs in churches, but I'm going to stand and say, hey, we believe in Jesus. Can we stand together? We believe that God can still do stuff. Let's stand together. Mm. Come, let's come together. And I believe the sound that is coming out in the season, that we need to be so sensitive for. We need to discern it so much that it's a sound of purity and not a sound of deception. Because the sound, the enemy roars like a lion, but he is not the lion. But we need to be crucial to the sound that's coming out. We need to get to a place when our worship does not sound like the world. Our worship is still holy towards God. So I'm going to give over to Apostle if he wants to add something. But I believe then we're going to go into prayer, maybe do a prophecy or two. But that is what is on my heart. And that's what I really felt for this evening.
Amen. Thank you so much, Yaku. And I believe that's on the heart of God as well. And I want to maybe just add one more scripture, Psalm 19 verse 3, that says, there's no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard.
Sure.
There's no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Everything is heard, and everything echoes and makes a sound. And, you know,
sure.
It says that the rocks will cry out.
Yes.
So what will the rocks cry out if we don't?
Mm.
If we don't, just imagine, what will the message be? So we have a responsibility to release the sound of God. You see, our sound was stolen maybe, but God gave us back our sound.
Yes.
God gave us the ability to release that by the Spirit, and He wants us. So I would encourage you, you know, don't despise where God is with you at, but know that He's taking you somewhere. And a little bit further, Psalm 19 verse 14 then says this, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. So everything is heard, but he says, let that what comes from your mouth and out of your heart. It's interesting that it says the words of your mouth and meditation of your heart, because it's connected. Because that what comes from your mouth actually just flows from your heart. Let it be acceptable to God. So everything is heard. No speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Everything is heard. Mm. So make the sound of God. Release the sound of heaven. Start echoing the sound of heaven. Mm. And let's start shifting our communities.
Mm.
And let's start seeing a shift in your region and where you're at. You can do it. If you're alone in your region, Start with your neighbor. Mm. Start influencing and start doing something. And then, you know, you don't have to wait for an whole army. Start raising up the army. Even if you're the first one, start doing that by releasing and teaching and discipling others so that they can find this sound. And together, you'll see like Jericho, the walls falling down, the walls breaking down. Amen.
Amen. Before we go into a moment, we're going to prophesy over a couple of people. I just want to pray. You know, something that really stirred me as I was started to release this, I felt something about men and households that needs to release a sound again. Families that needs to release a sound again, where that was stolen and taken away, and you know, our worship needs to come out of that place.
Yes.
And I want to pray, and if that is you, and that is, you know, even the woman that you feel like your voice has been stolen, I want to pray that God will start to release the sound again. And it won't be a sound of this world, but we will stand on a sound of godliness. We'll stand on a sound of righteousness. So I'm going to take a moment and I'm going to pray. And if that is you, just comment. Maybe don't, if you don't have the liberty, but I believe God is going to come and touch families. God is coming to restore that household voice that is needed. Amen. So Father, I thank you, Lord, for every vessel, Lord, for every person today that's saying, Lord, come. Lord, I'm available. Lord, I need an encounter. Lord, I need a touch, Lord. Lord, help me to speak and to believe there where I cannot believe again. Lord, help me not to release bitterness and empty words over my work circumstances, over my business, doubtful, fearful things. Lord, help me to trust again. Help me to forgive again. I believe there's people that you're struggling even in your relationship to trust because you're struggling to forgive. Father, I pray today, Lord, that let there be a sound of reconciliation. Let there be a sound of redemption, Father God. Father, I thank you, Lord, that we can pray, Lord, that we will start to stand up as men, as leaders of households, to say we will not allow the voice of the enemy into our house. We will not allow the sound of Babylon to influence my household, yes. But we will release the sound of God. Our worship in our home will be that of spirit and of truth. Our worship will not look like the world's worship. We will not listen to the things that is idolizing and devaluing that what you've declared, Holy Father God. But I thank you today that what you are releasing is the sound of heaven, is a sound that breaks yokes, is a sound that breaks that the anointing will come and bring liberty to those that's been caught in captivity, Father God. That even as Paul and Silas worship God and the prison doors opened, Father God, I thank you, Lord, that there is a sound that is released today that releases people from that very bondage, that feels that they are entrapped, that ensnared, like a snake that comes over, that comes and that feels people that they want to bring that fear. I pray against the spirit of fear over our nation, over the people, Father God, that you will break that fear, that you will break that thing that strives to enclose them, Father God. Try to not see the good in people, Father God. I pray that we will become bold again, Father God. Bold, and Father, I thank you, Lord, that you've equipped us. Father, I pray that you will release those people. I pray that life will start to flow. And Father, I pray that you will, that we will start to use the weapon that you've given us to start doing good with it. That we will praise you with our lips, that we will praise you with our tongue, that we will release your promises and your word over our family and not that what the enemy is influencing, Father God. Father, I thank you for this nation. I thank you for beautiful South Africa. I thank you, Lord, that your word will be set free, that your word will be in parliament again, that your word will be spoken in schools again, Father God, that we will not be influenced by agendas and people trying to deceive and people trying to look the other way, but we will come to a place where we stand for righteousness. We stand for holiness. We stand for you, Father God. I thank you, Lord, that you are uniting our nation, Lord Jesus, that we can bring our nation before you to this day, Lord. And we say, Father, come into our nation. Come and bring liberty in our nation. Come and bring down the schemes of the enemy, Father God. Father, as I spoke in the beginning, Lord, Father, bring down those 10 gatekeepers that's saying there's a bad report, Father God. And let the Moses and Aaron's and the people arise, Lord. Let the Joshua's arise that says, I've got a good report. I've got something that is of value because the Lord says he's in this nation, that the Lord is still over this nation, Father God. Father, I thank you today, Lord, that your word is alive and active, Lord. And even as your word is like a two-edged sword, I thank you, Lord, that your word is releasing over government, over the over this nation. And Father, that we can even pray for our president, Lord, that you will cover him from the lies and the deceit of what's trying to happen, Father God, that your word will start to stir in him, Father God. I thank you, Father, for this podcast, and I thank you for every person that's watching, Lord, that you're bringing a freedom and a liberty over them today. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that you remove every idle word that they've spoken in their life, Lord, that you remove their sin in this, Lord Jesus, and that they will start to change their sound, that they will start to change their frequency to a place where they worship you again. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Great.
Let me just say something before we go. We just received some information on an announcement by Ramaphosa today, President, on national dialogue. And, you know, all about conversation and getting people together to get to, you know, past certain things of the past, but also to, you know, work towards solutions, creating better future, better communities, understanding and all these things to, you know, start redesigning certain things. So, you know, you can go maybe read, it should be a official press release of that, what he said, but I believe that it's so significant that we speak on the sound and echoing the sound of heaven, because it's even sure. In this, in our government, in nations, as you prayed, that we have a responsibility to actually partake in things like this, to echo the sound of God, to release the sound and to speak into these things. So, you know, it's just released today that there's an intervention for national dialogue where we can partake to create certain things in this nation. So even in our prayer, let's pray for these, and even people that's maybe in a higher level representing us, that they will stand and that they will release the heart and the sound of God in this. Sure. Amen. So just look how profound and in time is this.
Amen.
Amen.
If I listened to news, I might have known it.
Yeah, I just saw it. It came through on one of the groups. So, yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Thank you guys for joining in. If you're still on, like, comment, let's share the podcast, please. Let's get some awareness out there. And before we start to prophesy, that we can see who's online. I see we got quite a bit online, even on
YouTube
and Facebook. So if you don't mind liking on YouTube, that we can see, and commenting, and those on Facebook, let's share, please. Let's get it out, that we can see who's online tonight, see who the Lord wants to minister to. Thank you guys for being faithful as well, and always joining in the podcast. And I believe the word brings life. The word brings something that the words don't just fall to the ground, but the words will carry something. And we might not see it always in that specific moment, but eventually we will reap the fruit of that, what the Lord is busy doing. Amen. We just want to thank you guys for listening. We trust and pray that this message will equip you, inspire you, and we will see the fruit and the transformation in your life. And hopefully this message helps you in your season that you're in, to get you to that place. We pray a blessing over you. Thank you for joining.